The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all live from the D. Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. How you doing, man? You good?
Oh, I'm doing just peachy, buddy. How you doing?
Just working the wheels of steel.
I'm working the wheels still. Yeah.
Handcuffed. Wheels of steel. It's like he's Grandmaster D. On the show today, Drew Dinsick joins us to talk both National Football League and U.S. Open. We're in the quarterfinals now. Split the tennis picks for a small profit yesterday. I have nothing today. We'll see if Drew has anything in the quarterfinals at tennis's final Grand Slam. Mark Borchardt on Major League Baseball. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on Major League Baseball. And there's a fly in my face. Other than that, Fly wants to know all about this stuff as well. We're going to talk some NFL props as well. Last team to win a game.
Yeah, last team to win a game.
We'll go over that prop as well. After this show today, I'm doing the Megapod.
Who got on today?
Well, it's going to be me, Todd Wishnev, and Will Hill, staples of the show this year. Steve Fezzik will be our first guest of the year. Okay. Sort of had to scramble. Yeah, a little bit of a scramble job to get this first
one. Can't go wrong with Will Hill and Todd.
Yeah, normally we put out the Megapod on Thursdays, but week one we'll do it on a Tuesday. We'll get out of there. So Wishnev and Will Hill remotely. All throughout the season. Couple things yesterday. Want to start the show. First of all, Clemson loses to Duke by 21 as 12.5-point favorites in this game. Duke beats Clemson 28-7. Burn those Clemson futures tickets, whatever you have on Clemson, to win a national title. That looks to be kaput right out of the box. And this gets back to what we started the show with yesterday, which is none of us knows a damn thing. And particularly in college football, I feel like we don't know anything. We have these preconceived notions of the usual suspects, and not all of those usual suspects are going to get home. And Clemson did not look good. Now, it could have been much different. First quarter, down 3-0. Robert Gunn III gets a 41-yard field goal try blocked. Third quarter, down 13-7. 9:11 left. Gunn, 23-yard field goal attempt blocked. Same score, 5:43 left in the third quarter. This is where it just starts to become comical for Clemson. First and goal at the Duke 7. Klubnik fumbles. Jeremiah Lewis recovers for the Blue Devils. Fourth quarter, still down 13-7, 14:39 left. Phil Maffa fumbles. This also inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5-yard line, quite frankly, right at the doorstep. Jalen Stinson recovers and returns it 55 yards. Six plays later in a 2-point conversion, 21-7 Duke. And then there's more, down 21-7, 8:22 left, 4th-and-7 at the Clemson 49. Klubnik running for the first down, slides prematurely just before the line to gain, gets teed off on. Targeting penalty on Duke, but ruled as a dead ball foul. Duke ball, let's bookmark that and get back to it. And then last insult, 5:10 left, 1st-and-10 at the Clemson 34. Klubnik picked off by Dorian Mousey. Clemson left 20 points potentially on the board with those field goals and those fourth down missed conversions. 20. And if you're like, oh, well, then they still would have lost 28-27. No, because as we mentioned, one of those was like a 14-point flip. So just a brutal, brutal outcome for those who had not only Clemson for season-long stuff, but also in that game yesterday. And I know of at least some people who kept betting Clemson throughout, thinking that somehow this would turn, and it just kept getting worse. That play in the fourth quarter, now this has little to do with sports betting, and the game was already at this point, again, you know, it was a 14-point game, so I don't know if Clemson comes back anyway. But getting back to that play with 8:22 left, 4th-and-7 at the Clemson 49, because a lot of people are troubled by this call by the officials. Klubnik running for the first down. Kate Klubnik running for the first down. He slides prematurely. So where he started his slide was before the sticks, just before the line to gain. And he gets housed. Penalty called. A dead ball penalty called on Duke. Targeting penalty. And it's Duke ball. And so people are like, wait a minute. How does Duke get the ball at that point? And that is the correct call. Don't be mad at the officials. That's exactly how it should be called. And I heard a couple things from a lot of people. One was like, well, what if that happens on an out-of-bounds play? If a guy goes out of bounds and then he gets hit. That's also a dead ball foul. It is. But what most people that are having trouble with this get confused is early downs versus on a fourth down. If that's a third down play, Clemson will maintain possession of the ball in this case yesterday. But on fourth down, it is a change of possession because the play is effectively over. It would have been the same thing had it been an out-of-bounds play. It would have been ruled as a dead ball play. I was thinking, was there a precedent for this anywhere? Wishnev was great because he immediately, because he's got the Asperger's, so he immediately, no, he doesn't really, but I think he does. We're checking on it. He is somewhere.
He doesn't really.
Somewhere on this. It works for him, by the way. I say it with only respect because it's a great quality of his. He says, remember that play in the playoffs, and he's right about this, between the Rams and the Buccaneers. The year that the Rams won the Super Bowl, so the year after the Bucs won the Super Bowl, the Rams did, and they played in the playoffs. The Rams were up 14 points with and the Buccaneers were driving. They were driving to try to cut it to a one-score game. Tom Brady threw it to Mike Evans. You may recall this. He was running down the left sideline. It was a 4th-and-14 play. The ball fell incomplete. It deflected off Evans to the ground. Fell incomplete. Thanks to Jalen Ramsey's tight coverage, but safety Eric Weddle, this might jog the memory, Weddle came in late to deliver a helmet-to-helmet hit on Evans, so it was by rule a personal foul for unnecessary roughness, but because of the football hitting the turf off of Evans just before, it was ruled a dead ball foul, and the Rams got the football, and people lost their minds then as well. But it's the same consistent ruling. Now, if you did, I mean, there is... You know,
yeah, the play's over.
The play's over, and
I didn't see the one last night, Gil. But see, if it doesn't matter if we're talking college NFL,
yeah.
If you're going into a slide, as soon as you start the slide, that's where you're down.
Yeah, the issue is like, if Evans had tipped that ball up in the air as opposed to hit the ground, it could have been ruled differently.
Exactly,
wouldn't have been a dead ball foul. And I get it. The issue does lie in the matter of the timing of the football hitting the turf in that case. But really, it's about. You know, is it consistent with what the NFL is trying to do or what the college football is trying to do in terms of player safety? It, on the surface, it doesn't appear to be, but it is ruled correctly, and so I just wanted to point that out for people. The other big thing that happened yesterday, and I know there's going to be some who are like, oh, we're going to talk about NL Cy Young again. Yes, we are, because this is fascinating. Justin Steele yesterday at the Chicago Cubs, on the heels of the Giants trying to make Blake Snell the Cy Young Award winner, with Blake Snell going 6 scoreless the other night, and we talked about it with Blake Snell. The walk rate increased, the strand rate increased, and yet he gave up no runs, and his ERA went down to 2.50 against the Giants. Well, yesterday, Justin Steele, I don't know if you saw this day game, he goes 8 innings, giving up not a single earned run, 12 strikeouts, 2 walks. He wins his 16th, which matches him with Strider. He also puts his ERA down at 2.55. And all of this is fascinating because we have no idea what these voters are going to prioritize now. If it's strict ERA, okay, Blake Snell has it by a .05 over Justin Steele. If it's advanced stats, Spencer Strider wins in a landslide. Again, number one in FIP, number one in XFIP, number one in expected ERA, number one in K percentage, number one in K, you know, in Ks per nine, all of that. It could be, Kelly, that some of these voters, not all, but some are not going to care about advanced stats at all. But some of these guys could, or girls, could vote this as Cy Young as a de facto MVP of pitching. And if they do that, let's be objective about that. Well, Blake Snell is not going to be the MVP of pitching because he took a sucky Padres team and made them suck less. If it's Spencer Strider, he took a really, really good Braves team and made them fantastically fabulous. But they probably still win the division, I think.
Right.
Right? So by that criteria, if some, and I don't know this to be the case with voters, but if some of them are like, it's the MVP of pitching, Justin Steele's kind of the guy then.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, because I don't know.
And I think you're absolutely right.
Because he took a team that probably wouldn't have made the playoffs and was enough to push him into the playoffs in the end. So maybe it's voted on that way. Again, we go to the Tom Tango numbers, which we, again, the most tried and true method of looking at this. Blake Snell is number one in his metrics at 66.6, followed by Justin Steele now. Justin Steele is number two, and it's really close. My screen's not updating, so I'll go to the phone. There you go. 64.3 right behind Blake Snell. Garrett Cole then appears in the American League before Spencer Strider's a distant 57.2, and Zach Allen, you could sort of forget about it now at 52.9. There was an ESPN article, ESPN.com article written yesterday and it polled 17 different baseball experts about any number of subjects. One of which was this very one. But just to give you an idea as to the different subjects that it went through, you know, will the Yankees make the playoffs? Will they not? It was like 16 said no and one said yes. And then they would zoom down on the one guy. Why do you think they'll make the playoffs? And he gives his explanation. Well, they asked about NL Cy Young, just calling this up. By the way, who will finish with the best record? The Braves, 16. One person said the Orioles, so they asked the Orioles guy. When it got to NL Cy Young, they asked 17 people. First of all, Acuna, 9, to bet 7 in NL MVP. Straw poll of ESPN experts. NL Cy Young, Garrett Cole wins in a landslide. He got 13 of the 17 in the American League. But the National League, this is before Justin Steele's performance last night. Let me do a caveat. Okay. So right before Justin Steele's performance last night against the Giants. Oh, the Giants. Strider 6, Snell 5, Steele 4, Gallen 2. So we have no idea.
We really have a race. It's just amazing with how many games you can play in baseball. And I mean, we see the odds. The odds shifting all over the place with every start one of these guys makes.
Snell minus 190, Steele 2-1, Strider plus 450 at DraftKings right now.
Zach Gallen, it was fun.
22-1. Remember, though, they pick 3 finalists before they announce the actual winner. What if Gallen, like, are we so close to the sun that Gallen could actually be one of the 3 and one of these guys?
Sure.
Thanks, Justin Steele. You really are the pitching MVP, but you're not really a finalist. Who knows? That could happen, too. Fascinating to look at. Drew Dinsick next on Tennis in the NFL.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The best Thursday of the year is coming up, and it's all about NFL opening night. Football is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is hooking new customers up with a can't-miss offer to celebrate. Place your first $5 NFL bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Don't wait till kickoff to get in on the hype. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. New customers get $200 in bonus bets instantly. When you bet just $5, that's code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It's teaser time.
Oh, Kelly, you got a little teaser bumper there. Nice.
How about that?
Let's do a little teaser talk before we get into specific games here. One, it's week one. Everybody slow down. Slow your roll. Don't go teaser crazy. Is that the proper initial
PSA?
Yes,
I think it is. Yes, I think it is. As we talk about road favorites and a lot of the things, be careful with week one. It's the general tip, right, is there's a lot of craziness that happens week one. We don't know these teams as well as we think we do oftentimes. Yep. So essentially, what is a teaser? You are parlaying two teams. You're just getting points with it. So I don't know if I'd be going crazy with parlays, teasers, any of that kind of stuff, week one, week two, until you really got a better feel of what these teams look like.
We often refer to Wong teasers on this show. We've done so for many, many years here on this show. I felt like we were the only ones who did it back in the day. Now everybody talks about Wong teasers. Stanford Wong is the pseudonym of a gentleman by the name of John Ferguson, who wrote a book on sports betting many, many years ago. And what he identified was the most plus EV teaser legs. Now, without getting too deep into it, a lot of this is total specific, but generally what he's referring to, the 3 legs that have been the most plus EV through the years in the NFL, are those that can get you through key numbers in 3 instances. 1, both home and road dogs of between 1.5 and 2.5. That way, when you tease those numbers, and we're talking about 6-point teasers here in general, that'll get you through the 3 and the 7. To 7.5 or 8.5. So home and road dogs of between 1.5 and 2.5 points tease upward through the 3 and the 7. And then the other one is home favorites of between 7.5 and 8.5 points that you can tease downwards through the 7 and the 3 to 2.5 or 1.5. It does not apply to road favorites of that number. That is not one of the plus EV legs. Now, I do want to again just buttress the caveat from before. In reality, these are total specific. So the reason that we don't talk about teasers, say, let's just take it to an extreme, in the NBA or in college football, is because intuitively, and you don't have to really know math, right? Intuitively, you realize, oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of volatile scoring in the NBA. And there's a whole bunch of volatile scoring in college football, much more so, though we didn't really see that this weekend, quite frankly, but much more so than there is in the National Football League. And so what that should tell you is, therefore, again, intuitively, that the value of each of those individual points is lessened. But in the NFL, when totals are down, the value of all of those points is magnified. And particularly when you put it through those key numbers, it becomes magnified on steroids. Does that make sense to everybody? I hope so. Kelly Bidlin, is that okay?
Oh, I think you explained it perfectly. Okay. Yes, I mean, if you bigger total, regardless of the sport, bigger total, that single point's going to mean less, right? So that's why we only talk about teasers. We don't even talk about them in college football because usually the totals are larger than the NFL.
Okay. So then with those two, with one explanation, the caveat at the beginning, the caveat that you shouldn't go too crazy on these in week one, because again, and by the way, don't take me literally on this, when I say we don't know nothing, that we don't know a thing, what I'm trying to sort of provoke is, yeah, you might know a couple things, but there's inevitably going to be some team or teams that surprise the heck out of you, and you're going to realize, oh, wow, I knew nothing about this specific thing. But here would be the Wong or Wong-ish, if you will, Wong-adjacent, because I see one that does not qualify completely. But here are the ones that Kelly, poetic license, Kelly threw these out on the board.
Yep.
The Steelers as 2.5-point dogs against the Niners. Well, that would be a great home Wong teaser leg, because you can tease that up through the 3 and the 7. That would be appealing to a lot. Now, the Commanders doesn't qualify exactly as one, because that's right on the 7, so you wouldn't be going through both the 7 and the 3, but essentially, you would be just teasing the Commanders to win this football game. And so that's why I would assume Kelly puts that on there.
Yeah.
Browns, 2.5-point home dogs against the Bengals. You could tease them up through the 3 and the 7 to 8.5. We're talking about 6-point teasers here. Also, I want to put the caveat in, as Bill Krakenberger has told us a million times, make sure the juice on these is correct.
Bill's never said that.
Never. Has never he ever said that?
He's never said that on this show. Come on.
I'm going to get crack here. See if he's said that before. So let's ask. If they're minus 140. They're minus 150. No, stop playing them. Packers are 1.5-ish. Kelly puts ish in there.
Yeah, we're seeing mainly ones right now. Yeah. But, we'll see how this thing's been moving all week. I wouldn't be surprised if a little bit more Bears money comes back in and you get an option.
He's anticipating teaser.
Yeah.
Packers, you could tease potentially. Through the 3 and the 7, Jordan Love and his opening day starting debut at the Bears. And then Monday Night Football. Boy, oh boy, on the heels of Hard Knocks, this begins the Jets' first 6 games of the season gauntlet. They're at home against the Bills. You may not want to take them straight. You may not want to take them on the money line, but you may want to tease them. You could tease them through the 3 and the 7 to 8.5. So, Kelly, the question then becomes, first of all, will you have a teaser in your account this weekend?
I think I will, but it's only going to be one, and it's not going to be big, and it's those top two on the board right there. I think it's Steelers Commanders.
Yeah, so you're not going to – Steelers Commanders.
Yeah.
All right, you jumped the gun on me. So, yes, Steelers, I actually think you're right. I think the Steelers is the most appealing of all those legs because we can all remember in our mind's eye, no matter how mediocre your opinion is of the Steelers.
And mine's pretty mediocre. Unders on the win total.
I mean, how many times on opening day, I feel like it's been multiple times where we're like, well, I don't know what the Steelers' offense look like, but their defense and special teams won them this game, right? Steelers up through 8.5, I think I'd bite on that.
Yeah, and look, this is especially if we're talking the Stanford Wong teasers, like, I mean, it's a low total. We're talking 41 on the total, 40.5 and 41 on the total. I obviously, that helps you out even more. And, yeah, San Francisco's got, what the quarterback offense, right now is a little bit up in the air, a little bit more questionable than I would think it's going to be later in the season. So if you were going to go against them, I'd rather go against them now than when they are probably in form 6 weeks into the season. So, yeah, I haven't made it yet, Gil, but, yes, I think it will be a Steelers Commanders teaser for me. Just smaller ones.
There's a few interesting things to this. One, while I say that that's the teaser leg I think I like the best, if I were to ask it a different way and say of those five, talking about Steelers, Commodes, Browns, Packers, and Jets, which is the leg that scares you the most, that if I told you, oh, only one of these failed, would the answer also be Steelers and 49ers? Because I don't know.
For me, this is unfair because Burrow, I guess, is still up in the air. But if Burrow was playing,
assume that.
If Burrow's
for this conversation,
yeah, that would, the Browns-Bengals one scares me the most.
That would scare you the most.
Yeah. Even though, you know, it's a home division dog. I mean, that's, you know, pretty attractive in situations like this. But no, I think that's the one I want nothing to do with.
Let's just make this clear also. Like, our buddy Matt Brown, who hosts shows here at VSiN, is Kelly's co-host at Long Shots.
He'll join us
every Friday this year for not one, not two, but three segments to talk nothing but NFL with us. He loves, and I'm not saying he's doing this week one, but as we get deeper into the season, he's a very aggressive feast or famine better. It works for him. He'll take one of these legs.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And he will match it with multiples.
Yep.
And that way, he's sort of guaranteed a, not guaranteed, but he's likely to either have a very big weekend or crash and burn entirely. That ain't happening with you this week, right?
Oh, not at all. Yeah. And I'll do similar. I'll key in a couple teasers usually around one team. You know, it totally depends on the week and the game. You got to love that game for a teaser leg. And I'll oftentimes do that too. But you're right, Matt is at a much more extreme. You're going to see him tie in four or five different teasers into one team sometimes. You're going to see that when we talk on Fridays with him. But, yeah, I'm interested to see what he has this week teaser-wise. I'm guessing it's not going to be much like
us. He can
us.
Rein himself back
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I think he'll rein himself back in.
We'll find out on Friday. If it were me, this also immediately jogs in your head. Okay, wait a minute now. It's the NFL season. Let me just get rearranged. You're going to have multiple things. A lot of us are going to have multiple things going on. So if I said the same thing you did, right, if I said Steelers Commanders, which sounds reasonable to me,
the
Cardinals in tank mode, if ever there was a must-win situation in week one, this is it with the Commodes. They don't win this.
It
good
really
God. But as I say that, then I think to myself, okay, but then I got to my Survivor. I'm not going to use all of them on the Commanders. I'm only going to use probably one, maybe two at the most. My real hope is that the Commanders crash and burn. So do I really want a teaser with them? You know, all of that stuff starts to go through your head.
Yeah, so, totally.
That's what makes this time of year fun and just a complete brain meld happening inside of your cranium. For those who are on the DK Network, Dan Lebatard is next. For those who want to continue watching us here on A Numbers Game, Kelly and I here from Bar Canada at the D, we continue on VSiN, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Coming back with Mark Borchardt on baseball next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Las Vegas. Before we get into Survivor talk, I got some bad news.
Yeah.
Got some bad news. I know Chrissy was on Friday, last day at the South Point, said he would be doing guessing lines. That is not going to be the case this year. So Chrissy can't do it. So we're going to try to. Now, here's the thing. I'm getting a lot of texts and messages from people saying, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. I wouldn't do it in that same form without Chrissy. Chrissy and I are the best of friends, so don't even worry about any of that either. So it's not about that. But we'll do something. I have all kinds of suggestions. People still want the recaps of all the games.
One of the best things done on the network. We're still do the recaps of some kind. Yes.
People seem to enjoy those a lot. So we'll do that to some degree, and we'll, I don't know, won't be guessing lines precisely how we used to do it. It'll be finessing lines in some way.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Something like that. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out as well. So if people come on Monday and they're like, what happened to this? Couldn't work out. As far as Survivor is concerned, how many entries did you buy entries yet to Circus Survivor?
I got one. I have one. That's all I'm doing. Just one for me. Yeah, you're giving me this look. Like, how dare you? I'm doing the one for the content, man. For mainly.
Otherwise, one for the content?
Yeah, otherwise I don't really know if I'd be doing it.
I'm kind of doing that for millions.
Okay, there you go.
Because I'm like, you know, I'm not winning this.
I have two millions, I have one survivor.
See, as my girl very encouragingly says to me, it's not like you're going to win this, right?
I mean, I say that every time too, but Gilbert, that's what's so great about Circa Millions, because I've got confidence for a quarter. A quarter, I have confidence.
I have more confidence in season-long Survivor than I do for a quarter.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about the fact that both Joe Pita and Drew have won quarter boobies?
Yeah, that very impressive.
Very impressive.
I still can't believe, when did Drew bring that up? Last week or 2 weeks
casually.
Ago?
Just casually. He was like, oh, by the way.
He bring that up all of last season.
By the way, I won a quarterly booby prize last year, you guys should know about.
We have one every single week, at least once, and he never brought that up.
I feel the need to go back to guessing lines for a second. I know. It's been 13 years, 10 with Chrissy. We'll figure something out. We'll figure something out, I promise. I don't want to just, like, pass on from that. So now I have 5 Survivor entries. So, again, with Survivor, my philosophies aren't necessarily the same as the next guy's. Again, I don't think, as I've talked about many times, I think beyond a certain number of entries, it's a point of redundancy. I think you're just kind of buying extra things for comfort, but you end up playing it the same way, and you just end up losing entries as quick. That's just my philosophy on that. As far as mapping out the whole season from the beginning, I'm not about that. I start mapping out about week 5, week 6. That's just the way for me to sort of check myself. I don't want to think that I know too much from the beginning. Oh, this team's going to be good, this team's not going to be good, that sort of thing. So, really, and you've put together a multiple choice here where you've gotten these are the biggest favorites on the board.
Well, I throw a little twist at you this time around, Gil. We're doing it a little different this season.
Oh, okay.
We've got to go multiple choice with you for Survivor Week 1. And we might have to finagle this a little bit down the road because, like we always talk about, you know, you might, if you're still, well, if we are still in the running late
right.
in the season,
that's right.
Maybe I don't want to talk about where I'm going with, okay?
That would be a
with my one entry, okay?
How miserable I'd be like, Kelly's still in Survivor.
And you have 5, you burn them all, my one's still alive somehow. I think I was out in week 2 or 3 last year.
Like Kramer, you're like, I'm out.
I'm out, yeah. It's my donation. But yes, we have a multiple choice.
Okay.
Just like school.
I appreciate it. Ravens, I wish I had multiple choice at school. Ravens minus 10. They're the biggest favorite on the board versus the Houston Texans. There are going to be some Survivor newbies who go right to that and like, Ravens, that's it. My choice is made. The Commodes, the Washington Commandeers, they are 7-point favorites against the Arizona Cardinals. I believe this will be the most popular of all Survivor 1 picks. Largely because, well, it's the tanking Arizona Cardinals, who, by the way, that's a strategy, right?
Yep.
The year that the Jets were and the Jaguars were miserable a couple years back, that got you all the way to, like, week 14, just fading those two teams. So I think it's going to be that and the fact that there's not really another natural spot to pick the Washington taco holders at that point. So I think that is pretty obvious there.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, look, all of these depend on your opinions about the teams, right?
Yes.
Like, you are I'm higher on the Commanders, I think, than most, but you're even higher on the Commanders than I am. So
right.
maybe for you, you
right.
maybe want to save them.
But there's a game theory. If I know, and I think we all know, that most are going to take the Commanders, and I don't know, your guess on that percentage, you can go to like an ESPN or one of these services like an Office Pools or whatever, and they show you like of these big pools what their percentages are of who's taking what team. That's a pretty good accurate reflection of what's going to happen in any pool that you're involved in. You may want to play it contrary and say, you know what, I don't know that Washington is going to win that football game. I'll let everybody else crash and burn. Or maybe you have one entry and you're like, well, I only have one entry. I'm going to play them. I'm not going to get too cute. Chiefs are 6.5-point favorites Thursday night football, the game that kicks off the NFL season against the Detroit Lions. Vikings are 6-point favorites against Tampa Bay at home. And then you put it in as E, other. Anything else?
There's always got to be another, right? I mean, you don't have to stick to the 4 biggest favorites. Obviously, like you said, a lot of weeks it's going to make sense to play contrarian a little bit against everybody else.
Yeah.
You might want to look elsewhere.
And there's going to be people in the circuit contest where you can re-up after Thursday night again who are going to play the Lions. And if the Chiefs win, they're just going to re-up all their plays and hope that the Lions win so they will have a sort of incremental advantage coming out of week number 1. In the end, I've got 5. I think I will have no more than two on the Commanders.
Okay.
No more than two. Where I go out now, don't hold me to that. Well, I'll come in on Monday. I'll be like, I had all five on the Commanders. I haven't, like, completely dived deep into this. But my point being is that I want to allow for the possibility of them crashing and burning. And literally, again, I grew up on this football team. But if in the fourth quarter they're in a tight football game and I know that 40% of survivor entries are going to crash and burn on this, I will heavily root against them at that point.
Right.
Please lose. So that's really it. Remember, the object of the game, it's a misnamed game. It's not to survive. It is to win. Though, even I acknowledge the first 4 or 5 weeks, you're just kind of trying to survive because you don't know what the heck's going on.
But that's it. It goes back to a lot we were talking about with teasers and week one betting just in general. While you're still trying to figure out a lot of these teams, Survivor, while it might not be named appropriately, you always bring that up. First few weeks, you might view it that way a little bit more.
I asked this in a different form on the Megapod, which I'm doing with Todd Wishnev and Will Hill this year, which we're going to record the first one after this show. I always ask, which is the big favorite most likely to lose outright? That's sort of a proxy, a survivor by proxy question, which is if I came to you and I said one of these four teams lost outright, the Ravens 10-point favorites against Houston, the Commanders, there I finally said it, 7-point favorites against Arizona. They're not going to be that next year, I promise you. It's the first thing Josh Harris does.
You will allow it for this one segment.
Chiefs versus Detroit or Vikings versus Tampa Bay. I come to you and I say one of these teams lost, Kelly. Who is it?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Against the Bucks.
Against the Bucks. Yeah.
Because we are largely underrating the Bucks somehow.
I think it's a little bit both ways. I think there's still a little hangover effect from last year of maybe Vikings a little overrated a little bit too much. Because I think everybody in that NFC North is, I mean, have you heard one person that is supremely confident in one team winning the NFC North? Neither have I.
No.
But so I still think there's just the effect of them winning it last year hanging over a bit this year. And yeah, I think early on, I think you might be able to get a little value on this Bucs team. I haven't bet them in week one yet, but I might. I think there might be a candidate to ship off some of their pieces that they still have on the team that is pretty good. I think early on, if you're catching these big numbers, they could be a dog that gets home early. So I think that would be my answer. If one of these loses outright, it's the Minnesota Vikings. Next on the list would be Chiefs.
It's really tough because beyond that, when you say other, I'm looking at some of these games and I'm like, nothing feels comfortable.
Yeah.
Nothing feels comfortable at all.
I can't sit here and say.
If I made you take one of those, would that team be the Broncos hosting the Raiders? I'd have to check the Broncos schedule, but if I made you, that's the thing. You must take an E, another. I think it's the Broncos hosting the Raiders.
But that's where the schedule comes into play, right?
Right.
There are bets we have. I did bet the Jags and the Eagles. I'm that guy. I bet two road favorites. I like them, but I wouldn't use them as for survival.
Or maybe you're not as high on the Ravens as others are, and you're like, well, you know what? I actually think they're shaky. Maybe I will take the biggest favorite on the board here, because I actually think the Ravens are going to have difficulties this year. It's also a possibility. Last team to go winless next Numbers Game.